by the grace of God, we want to link these verses together this morning. Verse 3 says, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we begin with verse 54. Where we read, so when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to our God who giveth us the victory, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Where we read, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we would exalt thy dear Son this morning, we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts will indeed be worthy of thee because of who thou art, and will be the worship that flows to thee from us, because of who thou art, because of who he is, and because of what he has done for us in redeeming us and placing us in Christ. Receive our thanks and bless our gathering together for his name's sake. Amen. This is the season when many people become religious. And this is the time of the year when we can take advantage of that. And we can proclaim the truth of the Savior. And what a truth it is. Many of the great passages in God's Word come under the numerical heading of 3:16. Malachi 3:16. John 3:16. We all know John 3:16. Galatians 3:16. What a passage that is. And 1 Timothy 3:16, and there are many others, by the way. But 1 Timothy 3:16 is one of those passages that declares the fullness of the work of Christ in a nutshell. And there are those scholars who believe that 1 Timothy 3:16 was a song that the early church sang when they met together in remembrance of the Lord. But we want to examine the word. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels. That expression, seen of angels, is important too, because there are those who say that this is the first time the angels ever beheld God. The exalted seraphim who surround the throne of God, as they approach the throne, their faces are veiled. They veil their faces and their feet, according to Isaiah 6, as they approach God, and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory. But there, when our Lord is born, as we read in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, the multitude of the heavenly angels, they beheld him and they worshipped. Scene of angels. Then we read, not only great is the mystery of godliness, God is manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, scene of angels, preached unto the Gentile, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. You talk about a great passage. That word mystery, grace is a mystery of godliness. It declares unto us that that which was secret under the Old Testament economy is now revealed. In Genesis 3 and verse 15, after the rebellion of Adam in Eden's garden, God addressed Satan, and he said that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And throughout the Old Testament, we have prediction after prediction, prophecy after prophecy, declaring the coming of the Lord. But it was to the angel Gabriel that God gave the blessed privilege of announcing to the mother of the Lord Jesus that she would become pregnant by the Spirit of God, and that the Holy Child Jesus would be born. And it's that event of God becoming a man that we celebrate at this season of the year. But that text in 1 Timothy says, great is a mystery of godliness. It is not only a mystery, a revelation from God, a revelation of that which was formerly secret, but it tells us what it was. It was God manifest in the flesh. And that is the grand truth of the incarnation. Charles Wesley wrote my favorite Christmas carol. Now you all know what it is, I've told you often. But I like to hear it again. So I'm saying it again. It's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. The reason it's my favorite is because just about every line of the hymn is from the Holy Scriptures. Let me quote the second and the third stanzas. Stanza 2 says, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. That's what we read in Isaiah 6. Late in time, behold him come, God hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son. Offspring of the virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead sees. Great is the mystery of godliness. Hail the incarnate deity. He's God manifest in the flesh. Pleases man with man to appear. Jesus, our Emmanuel, here. Emmanuel, as revealed to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, means God with us. The third stanza says, Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. And that word in Wesley's hymn is S-U-N, just as it is in Malachi, in the prophecy of Malachi. Unto them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Our Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. The word of God tells us what God has joined together, let no man divide. And God joins two things together in Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He joins them together. Christ is made of the seed of David according to the flesh. But he's declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And there in that verse, the seed of David, Christ's incarnation, his resurrection from the dead, are joined together. What God has joined, let not man divide. For the one who was born in Bethlehem has been raised by the mighty power of God from the dead. For there, why did he die? He died in order that he might accomplish redemption for a people who shall ever be and forever be with the Lord. And that people is made up of everyone who will ever trust our Lord Jesus Christ. For he says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. A people who are going to live eternally with the Lord of glory, the one who is the Prince of Peace, the one who is the everlasting Father, the one who is the wonderful Counselor and the mighty God. The mystery of godliness is great. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, linked to the resurrection of Christ from the dead is our own resurrection. Linked with his resurrection is our resurrection. But first of all, let's notice what we read in Romans 3. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And that expression, the seed of David, 2 Samuel chapter 7 and Psalm 89, Psalm 78 are great expressions, and Psalm 132, they are great expressions of the covenant that God made with David, the covenant of kingship, that he would raise up of David's descendants a king who is going to be mighty, and his throne will be established forever. You know, in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah says there's going to come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. And it's an expression of the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant that was made in 2 Samuel 7. Isaiah 11 says that this rod out of the stem of Jesse, who's going to reign in righteousness, and he's also going to be omniscient, and his judgment is not going to be after the hearing of the ear. Nobody's going to have to tell him anything. He knows it all. His judgment is not going to be after the seeing of the eye. He doesn't need a witness. He knows everything. He's omniscient. And then it speaks of the peace that he's going to bring. The lion is going to lie down with the lamb. And the lamb won't be in the lion's stomach either. They will not hurt nor destroy, the scripture says, in all my holy mountain. Now, when we think that he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, in Luke's Gospel chapter 1, where the angel Gabriel approaches Mary and announces the birth of our blessed Lord, it says that he will reign. In verse 33 of Luke 1, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. He's a fulfillment of the promise that God made to David in 2 Samuel 7. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. But now let's look at the other part. But he's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And that leads us to that portion we read this morning from 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is a great resurrection chapter of the Bible. And it leads us to the deathless song that appears in 1 Corinthians 15. For we read in verse 55, the song, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And then he goes on and he says, for the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. That song of verse 55 is based upon the ending of verse 54. The ending of verse 54 is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 26, chapter 25 and verse 8. A most interesting portion of the Word of God. Isaiah chapters 23 through chapters 28 are called the little apocalypse of the Bible. You know, another word for the book of Revelation is called the apocalypse. It means unfolding. Isaiah chapters 23 through chapter 28 is called the little apocalypse, for there you have the what we could call the superstructure upon which God's prophetic program is manifested and built. Now, this psalm, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Is the result of our Lord's resurrection and our resurrection too. Don't miss that. It's not only the result of the resurrection of Christ. It is the result of your resurrection, if you're a believer in Christ, and my resurrection also. For that's the great argument of 1 Corinthians 15. In other words, the resurrection of God's people was denied by some in the Corinthian church. But because of our union with Christ, they cannot be separated. What God hath joined together, let not man divide. And because Christ has arisen from the dead, it's the guarantee that everyone who is in Christ and they die physically will be raised. For you see, there are those who denied it. You read the 12th verse of the 15th chapter, he asked the question, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You see, the false teachers claimed, oh yes, we believe the Lord arose, but that doesn't mean that you're going to arise. And you see, the whole argument of 1 Corinthians 15 is you can't separate the Lord Jesus from his people. They are united to him eternally. Now, in this deathless psalm, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? At the end in verse 57, or verse 56, we read, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And I want to talk to you this morning for just a few moments about the strength of sin. Because as I was studying this passage this week, I sat back and I asked myself the question, why does it say the strength of sin is the law? If someone were to ask me after the meeting Sunday morning, why does the Word of God say the strength of sin is the law? What would you say to them? And you know, it took me on a glorious excursion. And I couldn't get it out of my mind the rest of the week. For days I couldn't get it out of my mind. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I'm going to call my good brother, David Morris. And I called David on Thursday night, about 11 o'clock. And we talked over that passage for about 3/4 of an hour. Just rejoiced together in what that passage says. You see, the result of that statement, even though the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, we have victory because we belong to Jesus Christ. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Wesley wrote in that hymn that I quoted, late in time, behold, he come, offspring of the virgin's womb. He came. He came to do what? To raise the sons of earth. He was born to give them second birth. And by virtue of the new birth, we are united to Christ eternally. And we can sing this song. But you see, to get to singing this song, and to realize that the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, I had to take a good look at what the law is. He has reference here to the law of Moses. And what does the law of Moses do? The law of Moses presents the exacting righteousness of God to the conscience. And we realize that deep down inside, we have rebelled against God. And the judgment of God required the accomplishment of that law. And therefore we stand before God under the curse of the law. And God's holy justice demands that the law be executed. He demands it. And you and I have failed. You see, it was the law which gave sin its force. The strength of sin is the law. We read, where there is no law, there is no transgression. And the law gave sin its force to what? To the conscience of man. And that made death doubly formidable. Oh, the thing of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law for the Lord. The law says you have to appear before God. You must give an account. And God demands exacting righteousness. Our conscience is smitten in the presence of God. But you see, that's where the blessed gospel of Christ shines. For the word of God declares that Christ was made sin, and being made sin there on the cross on Calvary's hill, the curse of the law, he endured for his own people. And the day that I trusted Christ as my Savior, I became one of his people. And if God raised Christ from the dead, you cannot separate his resurrection from the resurrection of his people. That's what the argument is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is that? All that death can ever do to us is to take us out of the scene wherein it exercises its power. sin exercises its power in this life. And when death comes, it's just going to take me out of this scene of sin. And it's going to do something else. It's going to bring me into the scene and the place where there is no sin. So instead of fearing death, beloved, we render thanks to him who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we read that 58th verse this morning. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, what God has joined together, let no man divide. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He's a fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. But he's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now our life as believers united to Christ, they may be beset by the enemy. But the end for the believer will be the result of the eternal counsels of God and the power of God exercised on their behalf. And that power exercised on our behalf has already been demonstrated in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he died in shame. He died in weakness, but he was raised in mighty power. And that power is available to us. But there's something else. And that's what thrills me. And I tell you, it has thrilled me ever since I noticed it. This deathless song that he sung in 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? It's a result of Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8, where we read that death is going to be swallowed up in victory. And where it's written. And you see, when I studied the context of Isaiah 25 and again, I found that this song is going to be sung when God's kingdom will be manifested in Zion. And we are going to reign with our Lord in righteousness. Our Lord is coming again. It will be manifested. This deathless song, friends, is going to be manifested in a people who have been redeemed and are now resurrected and reigning with who? The one written about by Isaiah in chapter 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. On earth in that day when he reigns, as a child born and a son given, as a mighty God and the Everlasting Father, there's going to be a people reigning with him. A people who can sing in the midst of sin, for sin is going to be here during the kingdom reign. They're going to be able to sing something they could never sing before. We're going to be able to sing, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" For the word of God is very clear on this. The law could never justify us. The law could never sanctify us. Because Romans 7 is very clear that what we like to do, we don't do, and what we want to do, we're unable to do. The law can't bring sanctification. But once you and I have been delivered through death and resurrection, that old Adamic nature will be gone. We'll no longer have a sin nature. And we'll be singing, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" Our Lord in his work of redemption. And that's what Wesley was saying in that Christmas carol that I truly love. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Our Lord is vindicated, beloved, as the one who is going to remove the last enemy that man has. And the last enemy is death. Very quickly this morning, application number one. The mystery of God is now fully revealed in the vindication of our Lord by his resurrection from the dead, and our union with him in that resurrection. Are you saved? Oh, my friend, what God does for a sinner when he saves him is so glorious. It's hard to describe. It's indescribable. Are you sure you're saved? For you see, death and resurrection, what our blessed Lord did, the mystery of God, is there. It's fully revealed. Charles Wesley's hymn, "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness." Application number two. Romans chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 is a true declaration. For the Old Testament said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us the son is given, and the government," in other words, the Davidic kingdom, for that's all it is, that they knew. The promise of God given to David in 2 Samuel 7, "The government shall be upon his shoulder." And that brings me very quickly to application number 3. This, my friend, is the meaning of the gospel. For Paul in Romans chapter 1 verse 2 that we didn't read says, "Concerning the gospel of God." He's made an apostle according to the gospel of God given in his son, Jesus Christ, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So Romans 10 verses 9 and 10, two verses that we often quote in relation to the gospel. It says that, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation." The deathless song that's going to be sung in that day, it's going to be sung by a people who confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and who believed in their heart that God raised him from the dead. What God hath joined together, let not man divide. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, but he declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. I thank God that we have a deathless song to sing, and we can sing it. Let's pray together. Our Father, we commend to Thee the ministry of Thy Word. Oh, our God, may this Word given today speak to every heart. May we have a reason to celebrate the coming of the Prince of Peace, the way in which You do things, who He is, and what He accomplished. We thank You that we don't worship a baby, but we worship an exalted Lord, a King upon the throne of glory, a Savior who is able to save all who come unto God by Him, an interceding high priest, one who is there at Thy right hand, so that we can say with Paul, greater of old, I found the way. Through the blood past the veil to the Holy of Holies with God. There by His power over sin I prevail. I can walk in the path that He trod. There in the presence of Jesus I stand, glorified Son at the Father's right hand. There I can come, I can claim, I can have all that He purchased for me. Father, dismiss us with Your blessing. And if there's anyone here who has never been born of Thee, sweetly call them to Thyself, that they may know that they are Thine, and this deathless song will be theirs to sing throughout the unending ages of eternity, not only in the thousand-year reign of Christ, but when the kingdom shall be delivered up to Thee, our God, that Thou, the Triune God, art all in all, and will praise You. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.